The new repair station rule is due out Monday. The Dreamliner battery fire investigation draws to a close, and Cygnus is en route to the ISS. This is Aero News for Friday, January 10th, 2014. I'm Glenn Morier. The long-awaited final rule for security at both domestic and foreign aviation repair stations is set to be put in place by the TSA after working its way through the government bureaucracy for nearly a decade. The rule was first proposed on February 24, 2004, according to the Federal Register. The regulation proposed general requirements for security programs to be adopted and implemented by certain repair stations certificated by the FAA. The rule is set to be published in the Federal Register on Monday, January 13th. According to the pre-publication document, the regulations codify the scope of TSA's existing inspection authority and require repair stations certificated by the FAA under 14 CFR Part 145 to allow TSA and Department of Homeland Security officials to enter, conduct inspections, and view and copy records as needed to carry out TSA's security-related statutory and regulatory responsibilities. The regulations also require these repair stations to comply with security directives when issued by the TSA. The investigative work into the January 7, 2013 fire aboard a Japan Airlines Boeing 787 Dreamliner at Logan International Airport in Boston is estimated to be completed by the end of March. The NTSB made that announcement Wednesday. The analytical and report writing phase of the investigation will follow the completion of the investigative activities. The final report is expected to be presented to the board at a public meeting in Washington sometime in the fall of this year. Members of the investigative team have been conducting work in the United States, Japan, France, and Taiwan. As the investigation has progressed, the NTSB has been working closely with Boeing, the FAA, the Japan Transport Safety Bureau, the French BEA, and technical advisors from Japan and France. The date for release of the probable cause has not yet been set. NASA commercial partner Orbital Sciences Corporation launched its Cygnus cargo spacecraft aboard the Antares rocket at 1307 Eastern Standard Time Thursday from the Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport Pad 0A at NASA's Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia for the Orbital 1 cargo resupply mission to the International Space Station. At the time of the launch, the station was flying about 260 miles over the Atlantic Ocean, just off the coast of Brazil. The resupply vessel is expected to arrive at the ISS on Sunday morning. For this, its first official commercial resupply mission, designated Orbital 1, Cygnus is delivering 2,780 pounds of supplies to the space station, including vital science experiments for the Expedition 38 crew members aboard the orbiting laboratory. U.S. Senators Jim Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, and Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, sent a letter Thursday to leadership members of the Senate Appropriations Committee and the Subcommittee on Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development and Related Agencies, otherwise known as THUD, urging that members fully fund the FAA's contract tower program. Contract towers handle approximately 28% of the nation's air traffic control tower operations, but they account for only 14% of the FAA's total tower operations budget. After sequestration, the FAA had proposed closing 149 of the 251 contract towers. NASA's Dryden Research Center at Edwards Air Force Base in California has been renamed. It's now the NASA Neil A. Armstrong Flight Research Center, following passage of House Resolution 667 by the U.S. Senate. The bill was introduced in the House back in February by California Congressman Kevin McCarthy. The center had been named for Hugh Dryden, who had served as NASA's deputy administrator from 1958 through his death in 1965. Now, the Dryden name will not be completely removed from the base. The bill also allows for a redesignation of the Western Aeronautical Test Range in California as the NASA Hugh L. Dryden Aeronautical Test Range, according to the text of the bill. When Aero News continues, dramatic video of a ditching at sea. A drunken slap leads to jail time. And we're not happy. Well, you know the rest.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Aero News continues for Friday, January 10th. I'm Glenn Moyer. One of the survivors of an accident December 11th in which a Cessna Grand Caravan went down in the water off the coast of Hawaii has released video of the accident that he captured on a GoPro camera from inside the plane. Ferdinand Puentes had the camera in his hands as the Makanai Kai Air flight took off, lost engine power, and was ditched in the Pacific Ocean. He told Hawaii News Now that, quote, "The engine made a noise and all the bells and whistles started," end quote. The video shows water starting to pour into the cabin of the Grand Caravan as the people get out of the airplane. The accident resulted in the fatal injury of Hawaii's state health director, Loretta Fuddy. The remaining passengers and the pilot all survived. A crying baby on a crowded airliner is always frustrating, particularly for the parents of the child. But a 61-year-old businessman who slapped an African-American toddler on a Delta Airlines flight last year has found himself sentenced to 8 months in federal prison for assaulting a child who began crying during the flight. The offending passenger, Joe Ricky Hundley, was arrested after the incident that occurred in February 2013. The online site, The Smoking Gun, reports that, according to an FBI affidavit, the 19-month-old boy began to cry as the plane started its descent into Atlanta. The boy's mother, Jessica Bennett, said he was distressed by the altitude change. Hundley reportedly told the mother to, quote, "shut that N-word deleted baby up," end quote, and then slapped the child in the face. He reportedly appeared to be intoxicated at the time. Now he'll have 8 months to sober up. Once again, it would seem the FAA is not happy until, well, we're not happy. The 2014 edition of the Cable Air Show at Cable Airport in Upland, California may be the last if the FAA does not reverse its policy of charging hefty fees for air traffic control tower services during such events. Airport President Bob Cable said the airport has been billed $15,000 for air traffic control services for the 39th annual edition of the show, which is this weekend. The event usually brings in about $30,000 to $40,000, all of which is donated to aviation scholarships in the local community, according to a report in the Daily Bulletin. Airshow organizers said that they were not notified of these fees until just before the show dates, and there is a proviso that off-duty air traffic controllers may not cover the show. Cable Airport bills itself as the world's largest family-owned public-use airport. According to the airport's website, it was opened in 1945 by Dewey and Maude Cable and is presently owned and operated by their children and grandchildren. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the weekend. You're now cleared for departure.